This is an interview with Sue Dimony on April the 15th, Income Tax Day, 2003 by Hugh Gordon. We're just going to talk about the history of the employment office for a few minutes.
You're going to ask questions, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you. Same thing we talked about yesterday.
Okay.
I'm trying to recall from yesterday. You were born in Dublin, Georgia.
Right.
And went to, you lived in Georgia all your life.
Right.
And went to school.
In Dublin. When I graduated from high school, I went to Atlanta to go to school up there, the business school.
Well,
and while I was in Atlanta, my father and stepmother moved to Milledgeville.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, I'm into Milledgeville.
Okay. All right. Well, during those early years of your life, I'm sure you did not go to school with any black children. They were all, the schools you went to were all white, Ned.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
We had segregated schools.
Right. Now, you were hired at Lockheed in what, June of 56?
June of 56.
And that was in the Lockheed office that was on Peachtree Street and above Dwaskins.
Right.
I just recall that, the interior design place. Little wooden steps going up there.
Right.
And then you moved
over
to 834 West Peachtree with the employment office in, what, about 59, somewhere along in there? It was there.
We moved there. It was
probably earlier.
58.
Now, that makes sense because I came in August '59 to the employment office and
and wait a minute, it was 57 because I started working 56 in June.
That makes
and
sense.
And we moved not that September, but the September in 1957.
Okay. All right, that sort of sets the stage for that.
It was Labor Day weekend, I remember.
My goodness. And that was right next door to Turner Advertising, I believe it was.
Right.
And I think you told me that you saw Ted Turner's father.
Right.
I was trying to recall that myself. I remember walking over to his office, but I don't I don't remember Ted Turner.
Yeah, he used to work without his dress coat. He would pull off his coat, get into a shirt, and roll up his shirt sleeves and have his collar open.
Okay.
But he was a nice man.
Well, that's just, we can look back on it now that that was sort of interesting because.
Right. And Ted Turner was a young boy.
He was a young fellow at that time. Okay, you worked as a clerk stenographer, as I recall.
Right.
And in the first part, you worked in the back of the office was that was the professional and engineering hiring,
right.
And we were doing a lot of hiring of engineers that I recall at that time.
Yeah, we were.
Do you remember? And I think it was 1960 when we had a layoff of engineers, and I talked management into not laying off the employment staff, and we had an employment in reverse program.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Helped all the engineers being laid off with their resumes, and I invited I remember the Savannah River plant sent somebody over as a recruiter and to try and interview, and they interviewed some of the people and so I think that was the first of that in the country.
That was the first employment
reverse. Yeah, it's now called an outplacement.
Yeah.
Service, you know, it's professional, but that's pretty interesting. Tell me about again, if you would. You were involved in the clearing process too, weren't you?
You know, when our staff got down so low, when you had to be a jack of all trades.
Right.
I was doing the processing of all the professional
okay.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got overloaded, Bill Key would assist me.
Okay.
Everybody had to pitch in on.
I think you got down to five people at one time. For
yeah.
You and Virginia.
And usually we had one of them out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Three, maybe four with
yeah.
the manager.
Uh-huh. So when in those days you had to do just about every.
Right.
Well,
when you did the acknowledgement of employment conditions and the paperwork that went into the plant that put them on the payroll.
Yeah.
And that's when we.
And we had to send them through engineering manpower.
Uh-huh.
You know, the engineers.
At that time, yeah.
Engineer place.
That was their personnel unit.
Yeah. We had to send them straight to the department.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the codes for the race. Four was black male and so forth.
Yeah. I think one was a white male.
Mm-hmm. Two probably white female,
yeah,
black
and
male, and four. Five was.
Well, the five was a black female.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I'm not sure how that one and two went, but I know we had.
Yes.
Did we put a code on the whites?
I think we had to code them all. I mean, I remember that. Do you remember, was there any controversy over that? At that time, I think we were a little bit.
At one time, we might have been just coding the blacks, and there was a controversy, and then we had to code all of them.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, of course, later on, there was no problem. We were expected to keep track of all these people and
right.
put them into the
mm-hmm.
computer according to their race and sex. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. all that seems so far back in.
I know it does. Well, tell me about the nuclear engineer. That was interesting to me.
Charlie Wright, of course, reviewed college applications.
Right, he was an interviewer.
That came in. Of course, we did recruiting, but we also had mail-ins. And this was a mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nuclear engineer from MIT.
Okay.
And Charlie talked to him two or three times on the phone and made him an offer.
Okay.
As a nuclear engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Without seeing him, having him come in or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was real impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when the day that he was reporting for processing through the employment office.
Mm-hmm.
Walt McDonald was,
he was an interviewer.
Holding down the front area, you know, of the interviewing and so
right.
forth. So he comes back to me and says, Mr. So-and-so is here to process in. Called his name.
Yep.
And he said to me, he said, did you know that he is black?
Hmm.
And I said, no, I did not know. And so I said, before you send him back, I better make sure that Charlie Wright knew it. So I don't know if Charlie was at his desk or if I had to wait till he showed up or what, but I did ask Charlie Wright if he knew if he was black, and he said he did not, and that what I should do is to call Herman Schutz out of engineering placement to see if they knew. So that's what I did.
Okay.
Because Herman Schutz was the one that was handling the
right.
nuclear engineers.
Right, I remember Herman.
So I called Herman Schutz and asked him if he knew he was black, and he said he did know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's all I need to know. I can just go ahead and process him in. So I went back and I told Charlie Wright that Herman Schutz said, well, if Herman says...
Okay, excuse me. Bill Key was the employment manager. Charlie Wright was the...
He said, go ahead and cross this if Herman shoes knows it. But apparently, after I talked with Herman shoes, he got thinking about it, and he calls Bill Key and tells Bill Key that he did not know he was black.
Okay.
That he didn't tell me that he knew it.
Now, this seems, what period of time would this? This would have been before 19... before I came in August of 59. So,
I think.
You remember what time frame this was in?
When was the nuclear plant first started?
Well, that's a good question.
Dawsonville, it would have been about that time.
It was about that time, and
he was going to be hired for
Dawsonville in Forsyth County, and that was the problem, because Forsyth County was
that's right.
Most
it wasn't that Lockheed was so opposed to it, I guess, but it was where it was located.
Well, it was where it was located, because at that time Forsyth County was infamous in their racism, and the saying was that no blacks spends the night
in
Forsyth.
And then I think the nuclear branch was sort of up.
Well, we ultimately had a couple of hundred people up there, nuclear scientists and engineers and
uh-huh.
technicians, and the plant was there to...
What year did you come to take Bill Key's place?
That would be August of 59, so sometime before that.
That's right. Well, it would probably be about the time all the graduates were on the market. Employment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So about June or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I would think. Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. he was getting his master's from MIT.
Oh, he was getting his master's.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It sounded like he was eminently qualified master's
in
nuclear science, and I can understand where Charlie would have been given authority to hire him.
Yeah.
He probably called the plant Dr. Flack. You remember Dr. Flack?
Yeah.
He was the director.
Wasn't his name Art Flack?
No, that was Art Flock.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Art Flock. Flack's interior design up on Peachtree or Roswell Road was after he retired from Lockheed, but he was the director of the Lockheed Nuclear Dawsonville facility.
Uh-huh.
And we were to test the nuclear effects of the on sections of the nuclear airplane. At that time, there was a nuclear airplane design being put together, and that was a facility for testing effects of radiation on various parts of the airplane. And they had a place out removed from Dawsonville, out in the woodsy part all by itself. For that operation, and they had a nuclear reactor there. So I could understand the problem, but I was not aware of this.
I don't know what Bill Key said to Herman Shoes, but we ended up by processing him and sending him out to engineering manpower, and they placed him, instead of sending him to Johnsonville, they placed him with Dr. Riddle.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember his name, do you?
I sure don't.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ritter was the head of the math department.
That's right.
A part of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that related to the Dawsonville facility. He
uh-huh.
Did you hear any more about that? Was he?
Not after I learned that they had placed him, in Dr. Ritter's office. But
you don't know whether he was.
It seemed like I don't know if he ever complained about it or if he stayed at Lockheed or not.
Mm-hmm.
I never did. We were too busy to.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would have been the first or second black professional to be hired at Lockheed.
That's right.
And at that level, we had supervisors in the assembly line and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been one of the first direct hire into that level position.
I'm not really sure they had another black, but it seems like in the back of my mind that they did,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that department.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure of that.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay. Have you thought of anything else that since we talked?
No, I never did think of those two interns' names from Spelman.
Yeah.
I can remember them, but not their names.
Yeah, they were, well, I talked to Dean. Oh, I can't think of the man's name. He was the dean of the School of Sectoral Science at Spelman. It's an all-girls school, female school. And we set up an internship so they would come at our office and work under our supervision as a part of their sectoral training. And they would have been the first blacks to to work in the employment office.
Did they have that in their history? Of the school?
You know, it's a good question. I've not gone over there. It's a good place to look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they could have, you know, that would have been significant.
Oh, I would have thought it would be in their annual books. And
right.
And now this would have been somewhere between August of 59 around 62 or 63 when I moved out of employment to assistant personnel manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think the first black clerical person we had in that department was Brenda Brown.
Oh, did she work in the employment?
Did you remember her?
Brenda Brown, yeah. She was a psychometrist.
Yeah, she hired into the employment office when we were downtown.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then we moved to Dell Road, and she worked over there with employment. And at some time when we started to, I don't know if she got a promotion to go out to the plant or exactly why she left.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about that, but I'm glad you told me. That was the first black in employment.
Yeah.
And she was a clerical person at that time.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there was another one we hired at the same time, but I can't remember her name.
Hmm.
But Brenda was the
might
one.
Might have been Dolores Slack.
Wait a minute. You remember Brenda Brown?
Brenda Brown?
Or am I thinking about Dolores Slack?
Oh, okay.
Who is Brenda Brown? Now you got
to confuse. Well, Brenda was a very attractive. Well, both of them were attractive.
Seems like they came about. Must have been about the same time in employment. Because I know Dolores Slack started to work with us there.
Dolores did.
Uh huh.
Okay. Well, both of them ended up working in the personnel department.
Right.
Brenda was a psychometrist, and she did the testing and worked with...
That's right. She got a promotion.
And that was a much higher classification and professional...
Uh-huh.
A higher professional level job, but although it was hourly.
But she and Dolores were the two first.
And Dolores worked for Sue Williams.
Right.
As a clerical person.
Right.
And then...
Her name was something there. She got married.
Yeah, she was Slack, and then she became...
She was, I think her name was the first... Was her unmarried name Slack, or was that her married name?
Yeah, no, Slack was her unmarried name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the way I... And then there was... Who is the black that went into work in wage administration at trying to think of?
They made wonderful employees. We all loved them to death.
Mm-hmm. That was
they were smart.
The first two that come in the 50s, huh? Yeah.
I think Brenda was still working there when I retired.
Yes, she
was. Not Brenda,
yeah.
Dolores.
Well, Dolores was terminated. Now, Brenda stayed in. Brenda was tall and had a lot of hair, was real nice looking, and Dolores also was very attractive.
She was sort of light skin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sort of a beige color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they both were very successful.
And then we had, later on, we had Travis Manafrey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she went over and became manager of the files in office services.
Trellis?
Menefree. M-E-N-E-F-E-E.
M-E-N-N-E-F.
No, M, just one N. M-E-N-E-F-E-E.
Okay.
And she... And the one that... Hollis was her last name. I'm trying to think of her first name. She worked the same time that Trellis did.
When do you think Trellis came in?
Beg your pardon?
When would she have come to employment? Trellis.
Let's see. I'm not sure if she came before we moved to Depp Road or if it was after we got to Depp Road.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we moved several times after we went out there. We moved to over there close to the training center.
Right. That's when employment went down. Now, when employment moved to Delk Road first, then they had that whole building.
Right.
And that was essentially built for
employment
for the C5A hiring when
UD
McDonald came in. If you'll remember.
I sort of believe that it was, I know that she was there when we worked in T-400.
Uh-huh.
Didn't we move from that road to T-400? Because we were in T-400 twice.
You did. And at that time, the office service just tried to find a home for you.
Right.
Because they had other plans for that building, because labor relations moved into that building.
Right.
And they had half of it, and they may have employment, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
That's the period of time in which...
Didn't labor relations take over the whole building?
I'm not sure.
I think they did.
Eventually, they probably did. Uh-huh.
But I believe that Edith Hollis was the other one's name.
Edith?
Uh-huh. Edith Hollis.
Uh-huh.
And she married employee of Blunkie that was in the mailroom. And he got promoted up to a customer service representative. And he and Edith got married, and he was assigned to a country over in Africa.
You don't remember his last name?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
Don't remember his
last name. He was in the mail room,
apparently, you know, sometimes they would take low-level jobs even though they were qualified for other jobs.
Yes, I remember that. Yes, you're right. And then he was promoted into what?
Customer service. He was a customer service representative.
Mm-hmm.
That white-headed man that used to be over customer.
Oh,
was in T-400 with us at that time, that customer service department.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he knew about him.
Anyway,
and they stayed over in that little country. Can't think of it.
Is that in Africa?
Close to Africa, one of those countries over there where we had customer service representatives.
Uh-huh.
Stayed for about 2 or 3 years over there.
Uh-huh.
He just went with him.
Okay.
And seems like they came back, or she came back for some reason.
Yeah.
And Of course, they had bought a nice on-light indicator and was doing real well. And she came back and worked. I believe she worked part-time.
You think they're still out there?
Huh?
You say they're an indicator? Or is that back in those days?
And that was back in those
back
days.
Back in those days.
I don't know if she's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they are now. Mm-hmm. If he's still with the customer service, they can tell him where he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they send those representatives all over the world.
Yeah.
Like but that's the type of employees they were. Mm-hmm. You know, they were smart.
Mm-hmm. Field service. Was he a mechanic?
Field service.
Yeah, right. Field service, yeah.
I keep saying customer service.
Yeah, it's field service. They help service the airplanes for our customers around the world, wherever the airplanes are.
And that's where they went.
He went to field service. That's interesting. I might be able to trace him down. He might have been one of the first blacks in field service.
Could have been.
Could very well.
I'm sure was going to hire some blacks in that department.
Uh-huh.
And where they were going to send him would have been very helpful for him to be black.
I can imagine, yeah.
If I had a map, I could find that country.
Hmm. Well, I think we'd have to trace it through Edith Hollis and her personnel file if it's still available.
Right.
Would show who she was married to and go at it that way. Or,
and, you know, when this is something I just thought of, when Mary Taylor retired, you know, she was, you know, Mary Taylor.
Oh, yes, huh?
When she retired, they were looking for a black person to replace Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And Edith was one of the candidates that came up to be considered for that job. And I think Tom Thrasher contacted her, and she was going back to this country to be with her husband, so that knocked her out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think they ever found the black to fill that job.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That would have been the time frame in which Tom Thrasher was could have been employment manager. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He came back to employment, I believe, about 85 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along there.
Mm-hmm.
It was after E.D. McDonald left.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he reported to me at that time. Tom came to me from labor relations, where he'd spent the most of his time at Lockheed, and he wanted out of labor relations, so he came work for me. And he worked handling the EEO function that Jim Mercer eventually handled, and then he went to employment.
Well, do you know if Jim Mercer's still living?
Oh, yeah, I've talked to Jim. He's had some health problems, as we all have, but yes, I have. Okay, let's see. That's good. Your memory's coming back there, Sue. See if we can think of anything else. But,
now, you know, we never did have too many blacks in employment during that period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we had a black interviewer until sometime later. Who was the first black interviewer? I know we had Ken Bedford and Jerome Miller, but that was back when we were on Delt Road.
All right, that was that would have been in the mid '60s.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ken left the company, and Jerome Miller left when we were cutting back. He got a good job at Coca-Cola Company.
Yes. Jerome Miller, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think there was he's a U.S. Senator now.
Who is that?
David.
Oh, yeah, David Scott.
Yeah, you know, he worked in Employment a while.
He did? I hired David.
Yeah.
He started in Employment, right.
Yeah. He didn't stay long.
That's I hired him on a fast track. He was if he'd stayed at Lockheed, you know, he might be in the top job now.
That's right.
He was a brilliant fellow, and he graduated from the Wharton School of Finance in University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And
he go out? It seems like he went out to the plant after he left Lockheed.
Oh, he came out to the plant, and he worked for us at the plant. And I had him on a fast track with Bill Key. He was being groomed to be a manager, and if he'd gotten into the management ranks now, he's a friend of mine. When he got elected to Congress, I tried to get a hold of him, but at that time he was unreachable. He was in so much in demand, and you're going to see a lot of him. He's a very bright, very nice, and he's a conservative Democrat is what he is. He left Lockheed and went to a consulting company and eventually went into politics and got in the state legislature.
Now
he's in Congress.
Georgia representative.
Yep, he's
a senator.
He's going to do well. You're going to see from him. And if he'd stayed at Lockheed also, he would have risen right to the top because he has all the ingredients of.
Well, listen, where is Terry Powell now?
Terry's in